You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dutcher, if I really knew you would, but the din in my head looks too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can barely hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And I'll tell you, we have a lot of unenslaving to do. The ignorance that I see sometimes posted on my website, on the YouTube channel, also the Common Sense Show, absolutely phenomenal. Gotta be trolls. It's stunning. Go in there and read the comments sometimes, and you'll just, it's just absolutely incredible. Anyway, we have a great show for you tonight. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by Joe Hagman for the Hodges and Hagman News Report. And we're going to go across the country talking about the major stories of this past week. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by Mike Adams from Natural News. And has he been on fire? Whoa, that's incredible what Mike has been doing. Just terrific work. And in the third hour, I invited Joshua Coy back. Now, we have some additional news items we're going to talk about. But in the beginning, we're going to talk about an interesting venture that the Common Sense Show is taking up, both on the radio side and also on the print media side. We're expanding our horizons. We're going to talk about that. Josh is going to be a part of what we do, and we're going to talk all about that. And also, we're going to answer the question, did Crawford Broadcasting allow Josh to do his last show? I heard they had to sneak him in the building. I'll let him tell that story. And it's... what I just said isn't too far-fetched. Anyway, there are some good people who make this show possible, and one of them is my good friend Steve Quayle. And I keep telling you, do not get caught with most of your assets in the bank. You need to convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. I know you got to pay your monthly bills. I get all that. But you don't want 6 months, a year, 2 years in the bank. So what do? Precious metals is where you need to go. It's one of the definite places you need to go. And Steve Quayle is the guy to help you. How do you get a hold of Steve? Call him tomorrow, 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. Most low-pressure sales out there. We are also brought to you by Trade Genius Academy and my good friend Bob Kudla. And Bob Kudla, as you know, is the go-to guy for economics forecasting and analysis here on the Common Sense Show. And he is known for making money in down markets. And we're about ready to see a down market. All the signs are there. We've been cruising along, but we're going to hit the skids here pretty quick. And, you know, Bob's talked to you about this, and he wants to teach you how to do what he does. He has a training courses available in different areas. Now, there's a deal out there to be had, but it's only good until Monday night at midnight. That's July 31st at midnight. TradeGeniusAcademy.com. You sign up for any of his Learn to Do What I Do, says Bob Kudla, courses, and use the promo code Hodges, and you can take 50% off. But on August 1st at 12:01 a.m., the course doubles in price. It's high demand, but he's offering that to our listening audience only. So you have to mention the promo code Hodges to get the deal. And then finally, what money you don't put into precious metals, you need to put into prepping. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine are a necessary part of everybody's storehouse. Don't get caught short because you come to my door, I ain't letting you in. I can't feed the whole neighborhood, so you got to feed yourself. Best way to do that is get the best tasting, lowest prices, convenient shipping delivery company out there on your side. And that's Numana. In fact, Mike Adams, who's our second hour guest, has done comparison tests with Numana and other storable food companies. He said there's no comparison. They win in every category. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the promo code Hodges NOV5 to take 5% off. Again, that is numana.com/Hodges. Well, up first in the Hodges and Hagman News Report, we have Joe Hagman here, and he is one half of the broadcast team, the Hagman and Hagman Report, but they are expanding their horizons. And before we jump into the news, I wanted to bring Joe on and give him an opportunity to talk about what they're doing. Now, their base show, their home base show, the Hagman and Hagman Report, airs on this network. You listen to it the exact same way you are listening to us right now, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Joe, welcome to the show, and tell us about your new ventures.
Well, Dave, thank you so much. It's great to be here, as always. And, yeah, you know, since the last time we talked, there have been some interesting developments that have we've actually put in and got going. One of those is our new shows, both individually. My father and I, we sat down maybe in January, February, March. It was in the wintertime, early spring, and decided that we were going to try to put out more content. Now, we did some, you know, trial and error, trying to put out individual YouTube videos on specific topics, and a few other things, but we decided that that wasn't going to be enough. So, with the help of John Robertson, our program director, and Eric the Tech, who worked so hard to get all this going, all the accounts and connections set up, everything, and we decided we're going to go ahead and do this show, the Doug Hagman Show, airing 9 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, and the Hagman Daily Show with myself and John Robertson as a co-host from 2 to 3 p.m. Every day. And Todd was kind enough to be able to host these shows, so you can hear those shows on Global Star Radio, Channel 3, I believe. And we also have the ability, like our regular show and many others, anywhere you want to get the archive or podcast from iTunes, or you can download the RSS feed, listen to it from our site. There's countless ways you can go about listening to those archives. And, you know, it's very interesting. We were already doing 3 hours of radio an evening, which it's a lot. It seems like a lot. But with the tremendous amount of guests and the quality of our guests that have been coming on, it's really not that difficult to do, you know, with such great talent. And one of the things that, since we've revamped our show over the last few years and went to video and, you know, reformatted the show to the extent where we're bringing on, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guests a night rather than just one, it has taken away from our ability to sit down and talk like we used to. Me and my dad would just sit down and talk for a 3-hour show sometimes. So this gives us a unique ability to do a number of things. One, take more time for our own personal thoughts to be shared on a daily basis outside of our regular show. And we get to focus on and talk about things that we're individually focused on, either my father and whatever he's working on, and myself, me and John, whatever we find interesting. And we got the first week of shows under our belt, and it is, it's been going real well. Looking to a bright future, you know, with this new content, with these new shows, and hopefully it continues to do the work that we've been doing on Hagman Report and shows like yours, where we're just going to sit down and tell the truth and do it in the way that we've continued to do it, and hopefully people gravitate to that.
Well, whenever I hear people who are quality reporters of the truth, purveyors of the truth, like you and your father and, of course, John Robertson, I am thrilled that you're expanding your operation. That means more people, more exposure to the truth, because we need to overwhelm the deep state with just sheer numbers. And the way we do that is to raise awareness. Now, there'll come a time when we need to move way beyond the awareness stage. But right now, that's where we're at. And I'm so glad you're doing this. This is tremendous. It's just kind of like when Ted Brewer, you know, started his show here on Global Star. You know, Ted did some fill-in spots for Joyce Riley on her show. You know, she was going strong before she ran into health problems and ultimately passed away. But Ted was so good. And I told him, I said, Ted, you need to do a regular show. And he's doing one now, and it's a darn good one. So I'm really happy, Joe, that you guys are doing this. I'm thrilled, and I know that the listening audience is saying, yippee. I mean, you know, more of you and less of Anderson Cooper. And, you know, we were up in Vegas this weekend. We went to see the Who concert. That was my belated Father's Day gift. And we're in the hotel room, and TV's on, flipping around, and Anderson Cooper was on some game show. And I just kind of mentioned, you know, he's CIA. My wife looked at me, really?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yeah, he's CIA. And they call him former CIA, but come on, you know, once you're CIA, you're always CIA. And you should see my wife's reaction. It's like, wow, they don't even hide it, do they? And I said, not very well. Not very well. And so I think it's safe to say that the Hagmans are not CIA. Brewer's not CIA. Neither am I. If we were, we'd be dead. So that is just tremendous. I'm so happy to hear that.
You know, about the CIA, two reasons. I mean, you'll be able to tell. One is I have, you know, I'm basically broke, living paycheck to paycheck. And I shouldn't say basically broke, but, you know, we're not pulling in six figures over here, let alone, you know, any other massive amounts. But the thing is they could come to me with an offer to rule the world, you know, just to screw up our show or get out of the movement, and that's something I would never do. And I know you're just like me in this regard. There's no amount of money or status or... there's no temptations in the world that could take me away from speaking the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
As I see it and trying to help people. So, but people like Anderson Cooper, yeah, he started in the CIA. And, you know, it's interesting when we see some of the things he's been involved in that CNN constantly gets caught doing, you know, faking things. The latest one was the Sandy Hook, the one I remember, the Sandy Hook, where he pretended to stand in front of the school or the city hall there and interviewing people, and the green screen that was behind him, something happened where his nose got cut off when he turned. And you could tell it was only, you know, computer animated. He wasn't at the scene. But there's a million examples with him and many other journalists that just show the level of fakeness that they perpetuate.
Fakeness, yeah. New word, but it applies. You know, when the term fake news first came out, I was almost beside myself. I'm thinking, what a stupid, childish term this is. And now it's stuck. And we got to live with this nonsense. Well, anyway, getting into the news. I know one of the things that you and your father have been concerned about this week is the shakeup at the White House. Priebus is out. And as I have heard, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Priebus is one of the ones who brought in Mueller, at least helped facilitate it behind the scenes. Do you know about that?
I did not know that he was or had anything to do with Mueller. But I'll tell you, about 6 weeks ago on our show, we were talking about the leak and who the potential leakers were, and my father made, you know, several great points about, you know, some of the Obama holdovers, whether, you know, inside or outside of the inner circle of the administration, and he believed it was, you know, just a number of people, not one specific person. But there were a few things that indicated to me that, and then Alex Jones ran a piece, and it, you know, pretty much added some credibility to what I was thinking about Renz Priebus possibly being a leaker. He was he supports and brought into the administration some never-Trumpers. He was been the head of the Republican Party for a long time, and as you know, the mainline establishment Republican Party wanted nothing to do with Donald Trump. Only after he got the nomination did, you know, Priebus, at least more so than other Republicans, play nice and could try to placate Trump, but he was never a good fit. And there's many others in Trump's inner circle that leave you scratching your head wondering, you know, why would he pick this person? And Scaramucci, the new communications director, is one of those. Many people are wondering, you know, this guy's CFR, he's a Goldman Sachs guy, you know, he's elitist, you know, from the head to toe. And why would Trump, you know, bring somebody like him in? And I do have my questions about him. At the same time, nobody can deny his ability to effectively shut down, to begin to shut down the leakers. He's doing more than anybody else has been able to do or was willing to do. And to the point where he's calling people out in public, you know, calling reporters, getting Priebus to be fired. And Priebus was one of the ones who objected to Scaramucci joining the White House team for months.
He knew it was coming. But I want to go back to the Priebus deal. You and I and your father, while I was on your show back during the primary, the early days of the primary, and Trump was beginning to pick up momentum. And who was the guy? Curly Hoagland, was that right? Is that correct? Is that the name?
Does not sound familiar to me.
Yeah, I think that was his name, Curly. He was one of the chief operatives under Priebus. And he came out on the air, and maybe you'll remember the story. He said, "We don't care what you people vote in the primaries. It's up to us," meaning the RNC senior delegates and leadership. "We'll pick who the presidential candidate will be."
And Hoagland.
Hoagland, that's right.
Yeah,
and we went nuts on this, and it was kind of funny because I attacked him for his recorded message. I mean, he said what he said, and Priebus was right there supporting him, and I'll never forget, the guy had his wife write to me, and we read her emails on the air. He had to hide behind his wife's skirt. It just is incredible. And so when you look at this, Joe, why in God's good name would Donald Trump ever consider having Priebus on his staff after he said, "Hey, we're not picking Trump. Are you guys crazy? You can vote for who you want, but we'll tell you who the presidential candidate's going to be." And it was only because we were kicking their backsides did they back down. And so why does Trump insist on sabotaging his own inner circle by bringing in people like this?
Well, that's a great question, and I wish I knew the real answers, but I do have a couple of pretty good ideas as to why. And yeah, what I'm reading here from I had to look up the Curly guy to see who he was. But one of the articles, "One Man Who Could Not Stop Donald Trump," and it talks about how Donald Trump may be the only Republican candidate who can hit the magic 2037 number for the majority of delegates, but according to Curly, he may not. That does not mean he will become the GOP presidential nominee. You're right. I mean, it's crazy. And I believe that he brought Priebus on, and a number of others, a few others at least. Priebus was the head of the Republican Party. He was the top dog as far as, you know, the Republican Party got, the head of the RNC. And I believe that when Trump won the nomination and won the presidency, either from advice of, you know, his closest advisors around him, people like Steve Bannon or maybe somebody who's from the business world, said, "Hey, the Republicans, you know, there's some never-Trumpers. They don't like you almost as much as the Democrats don't like you. So let's try to, you know, bridge the gap of divide, and we'll bring Renz Priebus on. That way we have the, you know, the head of the Republican Party in the inner circle, and that might put some of these people at ease." That's one idea.
Yeah,
at least
Joe,
that's what I would do, I guess, with that mindset.
I wouldn't do that. Look, when you take over a well-oiled machine that's going well, you want a cross-section of all belief systems. You do. You want everyone's viewpoints represented, and you would go about doing that and having diversification in your appointments. But Trump had to know there was going to be nothing but a quagmire until he has a chance to change Congress in November of 2018. He should have known. And when you're in that situation, you inherited a political war in Washington. He had to know the deep state was coming after him. You go in there with the people you can trust. You got to have those guys in the foxhole who have your backside. And Trump's failure in leadership to observe that principle is why he is where he is at today, where he's not getting a lot done that he could be getting done. And I think he wants to do the right thing, but he's bogged down. And if he wasn't fighting his own people in plugging these internal leaks, then he could be going after the people who are blocking him externally and moving forward with programs. But I'll tell you this, Joe, and I know I'm beating a dead horse. There's so much information now on Wasserman Schultz where she could be prosecuted for any number of crimes. And Hillary Clinton is vulnerable on the emails alone. Alone. Trump needs a major victory. Those two need to be going to prison, and he needs to go after them now. And then after them, Podesta. I mean, work your way up that ladder. Joe, what do you think? I mean, do you not think he should go on the offensive now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we talked about this a number of times on some of the interviews we've done, and I believe that because of the Russian narrative and a number of other things, obviously the media is the number one enemy working against Trump, and more so even working against the best interests of American people and the Constitution. So now that he's got the Scaramucci, you know, commanding the media, this is one thing I like about him. He is very smooth, and he's very good at what he does. And, you know, where Spicer got a little, he let his color show a little bit, you know, getting emotional here and there, frustrated. But one thing with the shakeup in the White House, with Priebus going and everybody understanding that things are going to, you know, tighten up, I believe that Trump should, and this is a question that I've always had, does he not understand his authority? Is he afraid to use his authority? Is, you know, what's going on with him? Is he still getting the lay of the land, trying to understand what's what? But there's a number of things that he could do, and he has been doing a lot. He's done more than most presidents have in their whole administration. But he has not had the support of the Congress, in the Republican side, even on the House or in the Senate. I mean, they can't even get together to repeal Obamacare. But I do agree that Trump should assert his authority. He should not only, you know, call these people out who are not helping him get the agenda the American people voted for to push through, but he should uphold his campaign promises and appoint special prosecutors to go after Hillary Clinton. He should appoint these. I mean, as much as the Washington, you know, insider, you know, people, politics and bureaucrats will freak them out, thinking, "Oh my gosh, he's going after his political rivals criminally," and you know, this is unprecedented. I think the American people outside of the Beltway, as evidence of, you know, the media's approval rating and Congress's approval rating, will stand behind him if he's doing things to the better of this country to end the stem of corruption that has been ongoing in Washington in the worst way. I think the people will respect him and back him up, even if they try to impeach him. I think if you were to just fire Mueller, the American people would stand behind him. But he might, I mean, once you get inside that D.C. Beltway, it seems that people change and their minds change.
Yeah, Joe, we're getting some interference here. Can you kind of reorient a little bit?
Sure. You know what?
That's better. Much better.
Okay.
I agree with what you're saying. I think that he can almost shame everyone, maybe with the exception of the senior Republican leadership. I think Paul Rat Ryan will never come around, but I do think the majority of them can be shamed into doing the right thing in the Republican Party. And John McCain, another one. John McCain needs to resign, because John McCain, I don't think, is going to be back in Washington much, given what he's going through. And that effectively makes him a Democrat, because he's not there to vote the Republican interests. And, you know, he made a 2016 campaign pledge when he ran for the Senate for re-election. "I'm going to repeal Obamacare." Well, you just had your chance, jackass, and he didn't do it.
No, and did you hear Jack Posobiec and a few others reported, and I'm looking for the exact quote right now, that, here it is. Okay, Jack Posobiec tweeted out this on Friday. "McCain overheard laughing. Let's see Donald Trump make America great now." After this is in the hall after he got done shutting down the Obamacare repeal.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and it's unverified, I guess. It was somebody who heard him say that, but I have no doubt that he said that. And he does need to retire. You know, it's unfortunate. He's been on the wrong side. He's on the wrong side of every decision he ever makes. Him, people like Lindsey Graham, those are the two who are, you know, named most, because they are the ones who put themselves out in the public most often you know, advocating for war and just these crazy ideas. But it's up to the people. I mean, if these people in Congress can't get this repeal done, if they can't come together and push through some of what Trump needs to get done in his agenda, then the American people should vote them all out. Democrat or Republic, it doesn't matter. They need to vote in regular people who are willing to get together and work for the best interest of the American people.
I agree. I call for this a lot in the podcast that I do, that we need a house cleaning in Congress. And people say, well, I like my guy. You know, I kind of like my guy, too. My congressman has actually done some good things. But we can't differentiate, Joe, because if we do, we'll keep reelecting incumbents. They all need to be gone. They all need term limits. The Republicans cried for 7 years, repeal Obamacare, wait till we get control. Well, you got control, and they got their hand on the chicken switch. And I'll tell you what's behind it, Joe. And no one's talking about this, but if you want to go back to Billy Tozen, remember, congressman? He sponsored Medicare Part B, screwed the elderly people with their prescription costs like crazy. And what did Representative Tozen do? As soon as the bill got passed, he resigned from Congress and took a $2 million a year job with the pharmaceuticals.
Well, you know, that is the standard operating procedure for these people in Washington. I mean, we were talking just briefly before the show of this whole Debbie Wasserman Schultz story. The Owen brothers and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they were on her payroll till, was it Tuesday when he got arrested?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've made millions and millions of dollars. I actually have a list here of every congressman, every payment they received from the DNC or members of Congress. And it is mind-boggling here. Zero Hedge has a great article about this. Wasserman Schultz and the Pakistani IT scammers. There's more than just bank fraud going on here. And we also found out, I emailed you a picture just before the show, of Seth Rich sitting in a bar with one of the Owen brothers. I believe the picture is from 2015 sometime. But many people are asking, you know, is this a connection to Seth Rich's death? The DNC, you know, the Owen brothers, Hillary Clinton, and Schultz. And I think the question needs to be asked, and the fact that they're going to shut down and have shut down any potential investigation into any other avenues other than their theory of robbery, that tells us all we need to know right there, that they're covering something up.
Well, they're covering a lot up. And along this same vein, you know, listen, Wasserman Schultz is covering for Clinton. And I'm not going to get into every detail here, but those emails that are being obfuscated, and Wasserman Schultz has these IT people, the Owens working on it. Wasserman Schultz resigned to distance herself from the whole situation to protect Podesta. I could go through the whole litany, but here's the bottom line. I've come across information, Joe, that kind of brings all this together, that Robert Mueller in 2009 took uranium, HEU, highly enriched uranium, to Moscow. I have the State Department cable. This is from WikiLeaks. I have Assange's tweet on this. I published it today on the Common Sense Show. So not only was Hillary Clinton selling uranium, so was Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller. And I already objected for him being a special prosecutor because he's friends with James Comey, and that's improper, because Comey's a central figure in the investigation into Trump. And now we're finding out he's involved in the uranium situation. And see, all this is in the emails, and this is what brings the Owens in and Wasserman Schultz. It's all one big mafioso family.
Oh, yeah, just like Pelosi. I have no idea who the Owen brothers are, as there's emails that WikiLeaks released from the DNC showing, you know, that he had access to and at the time was in possession of her mobile devices. So, I mean, it is. And it's Wasserman Schultz's brother, Steve, being the guy who squashed the Seth Rich investigation and also the guy who allegedly is about to prosecute Owen. I mean, when we talk about the swamp, this is an area where people, I don't think the average American understands unless they're, you know, really, really, really paying attention. And I didn't even understand the depth of this until very recently. We always look at the names like George Soros, Obama, you know, the globalist or the face of the elitist and the globalist. But in reality, there are a million moving parts underneath those people, just as important as those people in the scheme of the conspiracy, who all work together for, you know, the same goal. It's like who is a congressman? Was it Pelosi who her husband continued to get all these great government bids with his plumbing or construction company?
It could be Pelosi, but I will tell you, it's Feinstein.
It's like this in the criminal world, in the business world, and they have these people that are all in on this to some degree, and this is what makes them so effective.
Well, you know, you tell me how Maxine Waters has a $170,000 a year job and lives in an almost a $5 million residence.
It's called, they're allowed to insider trade on the stock market, and
that's
they receive money to vote certain ways. That's exactly how they do it. Selling positions of power or opportunity for money.
You are so on the money with that, but I mean, there's so many directions we could take this. I mean, not only is Mueller now involved in the uranium scandal, being named by Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, we have Wasserman Schultz fingerprints over this whole email scandal, which brings it all together. It's just, it's they're all one big family of co-conspirators. And this is what I'm saying is, why is Trump waiting?
Good question. You know, some people will say, oh, he's playing 5D chess, and, you know, he has this season of the future and is able, he's putting something together. Well, obviously, he lit a fire under Sessions this week by throwing him under the bus about being lax on Hillary Clinton crimes and on a few other things. But I believe that Trump is continuing to receive feedback from not only some people in his inner circle, like Steve Bannon. I believe Steve Bannon has been advising Trump to go after Hillary Clinton. But we also have in the House of Representatives, I think it was Resolution 477 earlier this week, that was a bill put forth calling for a special prosecutor to look into not only the Clinton email server, but also the Clinton Foundation's allocations and use of funds, stemming even to the Haiti earthquake fraud. So I'm not sure if that got through or where that is, but some of the people, I believe it's the Freedom Caucus and the Republican Party, are pushing to have Clinton, you know, investigated. And I would start with James Comey's own testimony on Hillary Clinton's email server as, you know, evidence, point A, of a criminal trial against her. And I believe she is one of the most corrupt politicians in American history. Thank the Lord that she did not become president. And whatever mistakes Donald Trump makes or bad decision he makes, I'll take those, you know, 100 times out of 100 times rather than the thought of serving under Hillary Clinton. I would have voted for Vladimir Putin to be our president before Hillary Clinton.
Oh, be careful.
Talk about
careful.
Russia.
Careful, careful!
Oh, no,
because I went after Clinton, I got accused of being a Russian spy by the Washington Post. So,
well, see, that's
careful.
The point. I'm making a point that literally, I would have voted for the Russian president over Hillary Clinton. I would have voted for Saddam Hussein possibly over Hillary Clinton. So, I'm just the point
she
is that we dodged a bullet.
Most despicable, immoral person to ever run for the office of president, and there is nothing. I mean, as bad as Woodrow Wilson was and how much he sold this country down the sewer, he is nothing compared to her in terms of morality, ethics. There is none. I mean, look at the airline pilot now. And this goes back to Hillary. Airline pilot on the Phoenix tarmac in the meeting on the plane with Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Loretta Lynch mob, and the pilot's dead. And then we had Clinton being investigated. Guy from Haiti was going to testify. Ran his YouTube video at one time on my website. And he commits suicide 2 days before he's supposed to give testimony against Clinton. And I saw this impassioned appeal. That guy did not commit suicide. And then the UN guy, the retired UN high-ranking official, dies in a I'm alone weightlifting accident. And he was going to give testimony against Clinton with regard to the Haiti situation. You know, again, Donald Trump, wake up. Now, here's what I think you got to do, Joe. At some point, the Democrats want to go home. And when they go home, Trump needs to fire Sessions on the first day because he doesn't need to have approval to announce a replacement if they're in a recess. And then he needs to bring in a bulldog who will come in and start issuing indictment after indictment. And he needs to indict all of these people.
You know, Sessions is a very popular man inside of the Senate, even in Washington. He's looked at on as somebody who has, the utmost credibility, very smart, tough former federal prosecutor. There are some things that he has done that make me scratch my head. One is him wanting to, and this is a petty issue, but certain states have already passed to legalize marijuana in different ways, and many other states are in the process of doing so. And I don't think that's a bad thing for the economy, one, and for a number of other reasons. I don't think it should have been illegal in the first place. But Sessions wants to start imposing federal law on some of these states that have voted to legalize it. And then even worse than that, the civil asset forfeiture stuff that he pushed, promoted and pushed through as part of the policy. Expanding the ability of law enforcement agencies to seize personal property for a number of different reasons, from drug proceeds or who knows. I did not read the guidelines, but this is unconstitutional as it gets. So there are some areas where he is not aligned with the Constitution, not aligned with the American people. Now, he has, as Trump said, been very standoffish. One, recusing himself from the Russia investigation was a huge mistake on his part. He didn't do anything wrong. It's never been a crime for an American and a Russian to talk during an election cycle or not. And for whatever reason, he recused himself, making himself look very weak, in my opinion. And I think Trump hit the nail on the head with that one. And then not pursuing, the voter fraud, not pursuing Hillary Clinton in all the crimes. I mean, she stole the primary from Bernie Sanders. It's public knowledge. You can find the proof online from WikiLeaks emails and Debbie Wasserman Schultz getting fired from the DNC to Donna Brazile, feeding the debate questions to her. I mean, there are so many crimes that she got caught committing, first and foremost during the election, stealing the nomination from Bernie Sanders. But even beyond that, the uranium one, all these different things. I mean, you talk about a prosecutor's dream. You think that would be it, but yet we see nothing. And that weakness tells me that he should be let go, and we need more of a pit bull type in there. But I just wanted to say that Sessions seems to be a pretty decent guy, from what I understand, a Bible-believing Christian, and with an impeccable credibility. But it's just that he's not seeing the big picture or not willing to do what's right in this instance.
Sessions lacks the secondary sex characteristics to go after the real criminals in this country. He's prosecuted mid-level child sex traffickers. He has enough right now to file on Hillary Clinton for the emails. I could win that case, and I'm not an attorney. That's why I'm growing impatient with this. And then you have Wasserman Schultz. This woman, she is as bad as Hillary Clinton, just on a smaller scale. I mean, she should be going down. Listen, what the Awan brothers did at her behest is obstruction of justice. They destroyed hard drives that the FBI had subpoenaed. That's obstruction, and they were her employees. Go to jail, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah.
But again, we have an impotent judicial system, and Sessions is the man. Now, Trump, I'm going to give him a little leeway here. I know why he hasn't fired him yet, and because he needs to not get involved in a quagmire about Sessions' replacement, and he needs people to act quickly. Listen, I'm telling you, Joe, if Trump doesn't move quickly to begin to get some victories, and I'm talking prosecutorial victories, he's not going to be president real long.
Well, as much as I do agree with the fact that there is urgency in the air and pressure from his base, and I would hope many in Washington, to make sure that they begin these investigations and prosecute Hillary Clinton and many others who have been destroying our government. But at the same time, mine is, I mean, let's just say he continues his agenda, his presidency, and he's creating jobs, the stock market continues to go good, there's no economic issues throughout his presidency, maybe he gets a tax deal done that puts some money back in the pockets of Americans. I don't see that, the fact of him not going after Hillary Clinton, having his base or other people, you know, demanding that he step down or not finish the presidency. At the same time, you know, if and when things do go bad, he's going to get blamed for a lot of stuff that might not even have been his fault. And a good example of this, and I was reading a story out of the New York Post the other day, where a pretty wealthy couple with children who lived a block away from Park Avenue both jumped to their deaths from, I believe it was a 19-story apartment they owned, stating in their suicide notes that because they couldn't afford health care, that they did this. And they blame Trump, which is fascinating to me because, obviously, we are still operating under the Obamacare protocol. Nothing has changed in the medical world. But the media, some in the media, took that opportunity to say, you know, to use that, with Trump to blame, as the focal point of that healthcare story, you know, under Trump care, people are killing themselves, which obviously Trump care is not even a real thing. So, I mean, I agree with the fact that him finishing his term, it seems unlikely due to the number of enemies and the amount of influence that they yield who are against him, and publicly as well as privately. The odds are already stacked, the deck stacked against him no matter which way you look at it. So it might not take much to convince certain people to get on that same line of thought. Now, if he continues to do what he's doing, if he tones back the social media, the Twittering a little bit, I think if he would address the people like the presidents used to do at the Oval Office, interrupting the TV programming for, you know, 10 minutes every few weeks, informing them of what he plans to continue to do and letting them know that way when they see it obstructed, they can say, well, hey, he told us he was going to try and do this, and these are the people that are stopping him from being able to do that. I think he would become a much more effective and more liked president.
Well, that I agree with. He needs to not be afraid to attack his own party. And some people say, well, that'll lead to him being a one-term president. Well, it's better than being a half-term president, because I do think they're going to impeach him. I think a lot of Republicans are going to join forces. You know McCain's going to be there. You know that a lot of Republicans are going to cross over and help impeach him. And he needs to be a juggernaut. You know, let's talk about the health care thing for a second. You bring this up. I mentioned Billy Tozen a few minutes ago. And
yeah,
where I was going with that thought is this. Is that you got the Democrats hanging on to Obamacare. Okay, that explains their position. They want to keep Obamacare. The Republicans are bought off by managed health care companies. Have been, always will be. I can't stand Michael Moore, but he did one thing I really, really appreciated. In the movie Sicko, when they signed Medicare Part B, they had the congressmen who were the committee heads march in, and they all sat behind the president when he signed it in this auditorium. And when they came in the movie Sicko, they had little banners over their heads about how much they were given by the managed care companies. And this is why we don't see the Republicans jumping on board. They don't want to. It was easy for them to throw bombs at Obama, but they don't want to give up the gravy train of the bribes they're getting from the healthcare companies. And I call campaign contributions and corporations bribes.
Well, you know, that's a great analogy of what it is really in real life. And what the image that brought to my mind was John McCain, you know, turning down the Obamacare repeal bill with a big, you know, with the dollar sign up above his head about how much he got for that. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, that's exactly how Washington works at every level, whether it's even the local, to the state, to the federal government. It has become so, so destroyed through corruption. And it goes hand in hand with, this is something we were talking about on the Hagman Daily Show this week. nation becomes. And because our morality has been on such a decline, I attribute it to the lack of spirituality and faith in Jesus. But because we are so morally bankrupt, that bleeds out into every sector of life, including every institution, government, or otherwise, to the point of, you know, total degradation, total destruction, self-destruction. Look at the Roman Empire. When we see historically that, you know, they had one of the best civilizations, you know, in the last few thousand years, up until, you know, American modern day, and they began to become like us in America here. And, you know, the welfare, the bread and circus, to the point where, you know, they're handing out bread and wine to people who are in a coliseum watching gladiators kill each other while armies are outside the city gates, you know, waiting to break them down and come in. Just complete disconnect from reality until that day the boot's on your throat. And that's where we are as a nation, at least as a people right now. And it's very,
that's a great analogy.
Very troubling.
That's a great analogy, Joe. It really is. Because the Chinese and Russians would not hesitate to overrun us if they thought they could. And you're right. You're right. We're completely distracted all the way down to our military. And no one's minding the store. I mean, everyone in Congress, and I mean everyone, to a large extent and some to the full extent, are only concerned with the next election. They're not concerned with the country's welfare. They're not concerned with how the people are doing. The vast majority of them only are there for the benefits.
Well, I would say to that if they really were concerned about that next election, they would be spearheading the wishes of the American people into repealing Obamacare and establishing a better system of health care where government is removed. Think about the, just in the past, what, 5 years or so, 10 years? I think it was 38 individual states put a vote up during the election cycles to see if their citizens wanted to legalize homosexual marriage. In every single state, they voted no, including California, which it was known as Prop 8. Well, what happened? The federal government turned around and said, we don't care what you voted for. We don't care that you don't want this. This is the new law of the land. And when we see, I mean, this is where it becomes so disheartening, and we see the corruption in Washington. It gets to the point where the voters are thinking, what does it matter how I vote? You know, what difference does it make? I mean, there's no guarantee that tomorrow Paul Ryan could be voted out of office and, you know, the powers that be in the state of, you know, Wisconsin and in Washington say, hey, you know what? I think you guys made a mistake and we're going to keep Paul Ryan in office. I mean, we're not far away from that. And it is getting to the point where many people believe it will take a civil war to change things. I believe that if we do not wise up as a nation, and good men and women of all parts of life, whether they're farmers or, you know, financial advisors, or, you know, you work for the Waterworks Municipal, honest, good-working, hard-working people need to band together and start running in these elections and engage the community. And if we could fill our state and national houses of politics with actual, you know, American, hardworking Americans, I think things would be a whole lot different. But A, even if we found all the candidates and were able to vote them in, would we even be allowed to get that far to see what they could do?
No, you're right. We will not.
That's how down the road we are.
That will never be allowed to happen. In fact, I'm going to even back up a step from what you're saying. My fear is it will take a civil war as well to get the country back. I'm proceeding as if it won't take that, and we can do awareness and we can win this fight politically. But I do have my doubts. But Joe, I think also too we're going to see other things happen. If Trump gets somebody in the AG's position who will really go after some of the more nefarious criminals like Clinton, I think Clinton's days are numbered. I wouldn't want to be on an airplane with her, because the deep state will not hesitate to take her down to hide the secrets. And she is the crossroads between the government and the deep state. What do you think about that?
One name comes to mind, Rudy Giuliani. You know, obviously famous for going after the mafia and stamping out the corruption in New York City. I still have some questions about him as far as, you know, what he knew about 9/11 and whatnot. But if you wanted, I mean, in my mind, and I'm not big on understanding and knowing a lot of these different prosecutors and potential candidates for that job out there, but that was the first name that came to mind. It would be a man like Rudy Giuliani. And we need to go after these people. They need to be held accountable. Now, apparently, the House resolution I referred to is 446, H resolution 446, Gowdy, 15 other Republicans vote to appoint a special counsel to investigate James Comey and Hillary Clinton. So, folks, maybe you should call your congressman and get on the horn and tell them that you want them to follow through with this, and we want to see these people investigated.
Well, I agree. In fact, what's amazing is the reach of Hillary Clinton. This is shocking to me. And the reason I say this is because when the money was laundered from HSBC Bank, this is according to John Cruz, former senior VP at HSBC. So this isn't Dave Hodges finding this. This is John Cruz who reported this on this show not once, not twice, but three times. James Comey was on the board of directors when Hillary Clinton's foundation was getting laundered money from a combination of cartels and their terrorist allies. So she compromised one future FBI director by him being on the board of HSBC. Now we see Robert Mueller being implicated in the WikiLeaks tweet, as well as the released State Department cables, and putting him on the tarmac in Russia, delivering the first uranium to Putin. So when you look at that, Joe, she has compromised two former FBI directors. This woman has so much power. And I'm telling you, I do think if she comes up on charges and it looks bad, the deep state will kill her. They'll kill her to keep her quiet.
Well, I have no doubt those tactics will be used, you know, whether it's a suicide by gunshot wounds to the back of the head or I mean, this is how these people operate.
Yeah, I mean, Lee Harvey Oswald will be somewhere there, and of course, it'll be blamed on Trump. You know how that goes. Well, Joe, we're out of time, and I just wanted to thank you for coming on, and good luck with your new radio endeavors. I think they're really, it's great. I'm so happy for you guys. And of course, catch the Hagman & Hag Report right here on Global Star from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Thanks, Joe.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. You have a great week, and it's been a pleasure as always.
Okay, we'll be back in hour number two with Mike Adams. Well, this is going to be good.